Blog Talk Radio.
And he won't prosper, no, 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 no. And won't work. Say no weapon. If I could get somebody to stand with me tonight and declare that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. No weapon formed against your home. No weapon formed against your children. Say,
it won't work. No weapon.
Just pay right now. No matter what the symptoms are.
Like you're crazy. Let me tell you why. Because see, while you're clapping your hands and the devil is wreaking havoc in your home, this confuses the enemy. That's because you're not praising him because of what's going on. You praise him because you know the outcome is you win. You win because your heavenly Father is getting ready to jump up in this.
Hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That your kingdom come and your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your power. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Just one more time, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just igniting and just interceding for us. Oh, we thank you for everything that you have said, everything that you're doing, you're going to do, and that you have done. Dear Father, may I decrease in your Holy Spirit. Power just overflows with increase, dear Father, in all areas of our life. You know our needs. You know our desires. Dear Father, we pray blessings on all wayward children that is not where they should be. Dear Father, on all the sick and the shut-in. Well, again, we're praying for Elizabeth. We pray for Monique. We pray for LaMeca. Hallelujah, we pray for LaMeca. We pray for JD. We pray for James. We pray for Tim. We pray for David. We pray for Michael. We just continuously pray. We pray for Tracy and Monica. Hallelujah. And we give you all the praise, and we just look forward to your word. We know your word is a life-changing, so the growth that we receive tonight, dear Father, may we walk in it forever and ever and ever and share with some other lost soul along the way. In Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hello, Blog Talk listeners. God bless you all. God bless you all. Are you ready to receive the word of the Lord? Hallelujah. Anyone need the word of the Lord? Have you been looking forward to receiving the word of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you been in your word today? Hallelujah. In your prayer closet, I pray that you have received all of the miraculous things that the Lord was trying to give to you on this day. Hallelujah. because it's going to be beneficial for you and your walk with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, tonight we're moving right along on our 30-day New Believer Studies. We're on day 9. Day 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Day 9. And tonight we come to get some people set free. Set free from the power of unforgiveness. Hallelujah. That stronghold that's just holding you down at unforgiveness. We want to shed some light on the truth of how holding grudges and unforgiveness, what it's doing, not to the one that you're holding a grudge against, not to the one that you refuse to forgive, but to you, to your holy temple. Hallelujah. Have you ever wondered how you could forgive an enemy? You know, what they've done to you, you said, how could I start? Why would I want to? Have you ever wondered what sins are unforgivable? Hallelujah. 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 So we're diving into that, and I know that you may know somebody who is actually holding grudges, may have been holding them for years. Go ahead, take a moment. Call that friend right now. Ask them to join into the broadcast. The call-in number here at the broadcast is 646-652-4916. Again, it's 646-652-4916. Let me give my information in case we get our time runs away with us. Again, I am Evangelist Von Dumas, and you can send me an email at walkwithmegod@aol.com, or you can reach me here on the Blog Talk Radio /Evangelist Von Dumas. Of course, you can always give me a call at 210-264-5287. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, if you need a Bible, if you need to find a church home in your city or state, we're more than happy to search that out, pray with you until we find that information. If you're just needing prayer, remember on the prayer wall, we three times a day, we stop and pray for whatever your needs are, your desires or whatever it is that's going on in your life. We pray three times a day for those issues. And God is an answering God. God does answer prayer. Hallelujah. Don't be too ashamed and sit there and let the enemy speak into your ears that you don't need to tell nobody about what you're going through, about what your request is, because then they're going to look down or judge you. That is just an evil spirit that is trying to keep you in that cave, locked into that stronghold that you have been in, that you may have been carrying around forever and ever, and you may have picked it up from your mom and your mom's mom or whatever the case may be, but you don't have to stay where you're at today. You don't have to stay in that bloodline that you was born into. That bloodline does not have to be a roadblock for you. If it was a feud going on that your parents didn't like somebody and they passed that hatred on down to you, you don't have to stay in that cave. You can come out. You can learn how to forgive. Take your bloodline and cover it with the blood of Jesus, and all things are made new. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. Just make up in your mind, today is the day that you will step into your new life and start not just speaking that you are a Christian, but walking a Christian life, that you will stop declaring that, yeah, you believe in God, but you have no desire to follow God. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. Lots of times we're able to do many things that the Bible tells us to do, but when it gets to the point that our flesh says, nah, it doesn't feel right to me, we obey the flesh and we step back from the Word. But the Word tells us that if we're going to follow Jesus, we must deny ourselves. take up our cross and follow him. So we have to deny the flesh. We have to tell our flesh what it will be getting, what it will be doing, and not asking, not waiting on what we feel. We don't feel like that's right. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Now, you know, as far as forgiveness, most people do not realize it, but unforgiveness can do a number on your health, and it can eventually kill you. I'm not talking about just kill your walking spirit. I'm talking about graveyard dead. You couldn't pay me to hold unforgiveness in my heart against another person. See, there is no amount of money that can entice me to do that. I learned long ago to forgive and forget, because vengeance belongs to the Lord, and he will repay. Now, you say you have forgave your sister or your brother. However, you say, but I can never forget it. Forgetting it doesn't mean that you wrap the things completely, that you just never, it blocks out. But forgetting it actually means that you have forgave her, that every time you see that sister or brother, you don't see the sin that they did against you. Hallelujah. You still see Christ in them. You don't see the sin. Yeah, there she go. I remember when he or she did this. You don't see the sin. Or you don't keep it wrote on a private pad. And the first moment that they upset you, you don't pull it right back out and show it to them. You remember when you did this to me? I forgave you for that, and I'm not going to forgive you for this too. Because then you truly have not forgave the brother, the sister. Hallelujah. When God forgives us of our sins, hallelujah, he forgives us of our sins. And he throws them in the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more. The sin has now been covered by the blood of Jesus, and you are not held accountable for that sin any longer. That means you get a free pass now on that sin because of the blood of Jesus, because of the changedness in your heart, because of your beliefs in the blood of Jesus, because of the way that you walk now. We're not going to, God's not going to still hold it against you before your BC days, before you came to Christ. But when you have truly changed in your heart, he said he will forget those sins no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he gives you total forgiveness. Total forgiveness. He doesn't throw it back up in your face. Because remember, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death. So if you are not able to totally forgive, then you have not truly got connected with the Holy Spirit, regardless of what the situation is. I'm not saying that it's easy, and I know, you know, it can be all kind of different things, but we still have to hook up with the Holy Spirit and let him know, because of this that has happened to me, I need your help. I'm crying out to you, Father, teach me how to forgive this person of this. Because my flesh is right now is not wanting to forgive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because, again, it's working against you. The Lord tells us, vengeance belongs to the Lord, and he will repay. When you can't truly forgive and forget, it actually is saying that you really don't trust God, that he's going to repay them for what they've done to you, for what they've said about you. But remember, the wages of sin is death. That means the price of your sins is death, graveyard dead. Hallelujah. Or you can go ahead and leave that into your Father's hands and say, you know what, that matter is not with me anymore. I gave that over to the Lord. Hallelujah. I stepped out of that situation. I've given that over to the Lord. Hallelujah. I've had a number of wrongs done to me over the years. I've been talked about, lied on, criticized. I've had backbiting. People that I loved and trusted has went and did terrible things. I've been hurt. Hallelujah. I've been called everything but a child of God. But I have better sense than to let these attacks get me to a point where I stop loving and when I stop forgiving. I cannot have a better track record than Jesus. And they talked about Jesus. They lied on Jesus. And they eventually crucified Jesus because he gave his life for us. But he loved them still. Hanging on the cross, he still, hallelujah, was asking for forgiveness for their sins, talking to his Father saying, forgive them, because they know not what they do. I come to remind you that you know not what you do. Well, not only are you not willing to forgive and forget, but now you're trying to, now you're the scandalizer. Now every time that someone talks to you, you're reminding them, did I tell you what this person did? Did I tell you what they said? Now you're the one who's bringing up all the lies. You're the one who's starting it. You want everybody else to feel the things, feel sorry for you because of what somebody has done. It's getting kind of crowded in that pity room that you're having for that pity party. Oh, it's me. Woe is me. I didn't do anything wrong. Everybody says it wasn't you. You didn't do anything wrong. Hallelujah. You're wasting time. Precious time. Precious time. If anybody should be able to see it, we living in this day should be able to see that every moment is precious time. Hallelujah. Unforgiveness will stop your faith dead in its tracks. You can't live with unforgiveness and say that you're living by faith. It will stop your faith dead in its tracks. You will start to worry about each and everything because you got so much unforgiveness in your heart. If you're standing for healing, but you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're wasting your time confessing the word. See, you might as well be a babbling brook or a clanging cymbal. You're just making noise. It might be pleasant noise, but it's just noise all the same. God cannot forgive you if you don't forgive others. He cannot heal you if you don't forgive. When you're doing your self-examination, I need you to just stand in front of the mirror, as you always do. Look at yourself. Call out your name. Self, God cannot forgive you if you don't forgive others. Put in the name of the one who's just hurt you so bad. Self, God cannot heal you if you don't forgive. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 22 through 26 is a passage that proves my point. Mark, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and we're 11 and start at 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything, anything, whether it's the truth they told about you, you gave them a secret, somebody went and told the secret. It may have been true. They just told your secret. Are they lying on you? Just totally no truth in it. But they just lying. They just didn't say it. They lying and telling people. They're lying on you. Whatever it is you have against somebody. The Bible says, and whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. We need forgiveness from the Father. We need forgiveness from the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're born into a world of sin. Even sometimes when we're unintentionally sin, we still have to pay for it. We must repent of those sins in order to get not have to pay for them with the wages of sin is what? Death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we must continuously ask God to forgive us for our sins. And then the next part of that, we must continue to forgive those that sin against us. He just showed us how to pray. And that's a part of the prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've been standing against symptoms for a long time, I suggest you check yourself out. Are you holding something against someone else? You still been holding on. You're standing firm. I'm standing, waiting on my blessing, waiting on my healing. Check yourself out. Make sure you're not holding something against someone else. A lot of the things that people harbor within themselves can allow attack from the enemy to come in. I don't understand it, but I have known people to be angry with another person and hold that anger for 10, 15, 20 years. How in the world can you justify holding anger that long? Some of the things you don't even remember. Somebody had to tell you that it happened. You say, well, they're angry. I guess I'm supposed to be angry about this. And you just harbor. And you get so used to it that it becomes a part of your life of figuring out a way to stay angry with this person, with these people, about the same situation. And every opportunity, because God being God, is always, always, always going to give you opportunities in your life to break the anger and step into forgiveness. But every time the opportunity comes to you, you listen to the enemy and you find other ways. Now, I'm not ready to give this up yet. I'm not getting ready to just bypass that situation like it never happened and then go ahead and live and be happy and merry and keep going. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So in the midst of it, I'm not going to be around. I'm not going to associate. I'm not going to that job. I'm not going to that church. I'm not praying for that preacher. I'm not praying for the sick. I'm not going to the hospital. I'm not going to read the word, the part that tells that. I'm not going to apply it to my life. And that's good for a moment. That's good for a moment. But we need each other because we're out of the will of God by not forgiving. When you get by yourself, or when you're even least expected, what happens? What happens? People start getting from around you. You start finding yourself not feeling loved, finding yourself not feeling appreciated, finding yourself not feeling needed. Why? Because you've separated yourself from everyone. because you're not able to forgive. Because people start to separate themselves from you because the anger that you harbor in your heart, out of the mouth it flows over and over. And no one wants to be spilled on. They don't want you spilling your anger on them. They're tired of hearing about the sob story of what you did or what you didn't do and how you were treated in return. Hallelujah. So the person or the people that have done wrong against you, whether it was the truth that they done wrong or it was a total lie, it may have been a husband have abused the family, a wife may have ran out and left all the kids. Whatever it is, the Bible tells us, it said anything that you have against anyone, you should forgive them for it. But those people, that person, the situation, they finally just have to back and turn another way and say, you know what, I'm going to have to go in and live life. This person refuses to get over that situation. I'm trying to bring in newness. I'm trying to give so much more. I'm trying to make up for that by doing so many other things, living life. But I can't stop my life because of that one situation. Because I now got to move on. So now you're all mad. You're all upset. Now you're all stuck in your own pity party. And the mud is getting knee deep. Some of it is up to your nose. You're just choking. You can't even speak about the situation anymore. Because the mud is getting in your mouth. You're just stuck in it. It's covering your ears. You don't want to hear about forgiveness. Some of you right now can't bear to stand to get through this message. So she's talking about me. She just don't know my situation. You ain't walked in my shoes, Evangelist Vaughn. But God knows your shoes. God knows where your feet has been. God knows what you've been through. And he says that if you have anything against anyone, you should forgive him so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you for your trespasses. He says, but if you do not forgive, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. You have sin in your life. You have trespassed in your life, and you need to be forgiven. You need to be forgiven. Hallelujah. So now you're mad because the person, the people, the situation, the church is still going forward. They've tried to reach out to you, but now they're still going. God is still blessing the church. They're still moving forward. And you're just upset. I dare. If people knew what they really did, they wouldn't be sitting under that pastor. If this woman really knew what that man really did, she wouldn't be marrying him right now. Everybody thinks this person is so this and that. They just don't know what that person did to me. Now guess who is all on? Now it's all on you. You are carrying that sin. That sin now weighs way more than you. It's choking you out. You're depressed. You're suicidal. You feel unloved. You feel unwanted. You feel unneeded. You're reaching around for any and everybody that you can to pull in your corner. Anybody who you think remotely will love you, you're trying to pull them. They're not even the right person for you, but you're trying to hold on to it. You don't want to let it go. Whew, it's time to let go. When you finally get so tired, and you want to come up out of there so you can breathe again. It's been a long time since someone has breathed. Every day has been like another day of pity, pity, pity. You don't let a day go by that you don't think about what happened to you. Because the enemy is not going to let you. Because he sees you don't want to come out of your cave, and you can walk towards it and see a little light. Have a good day. But he'll remind you. Remember who you are. Remember what happened to you. Remember, how can you marry this man? You were molested all your life. How in the world can you leave this relationship? You've been abused so bad, nobody else is going to ever want you. You might as well stay right here in this relationship. You've got to forgive yourself. Some people are blaming themselves for things that have happened to them. You can't forgive yourself. God bless, God bless, God bless. Holding grudges, holding anger in your heart 10, 15, 20 years. As far as I can tell, the Bible doesn't give you any more than 24 hours to hold on to your anger. 24 hours. Look how far off the mark we are. 24 hours to hold on to your anger. Oh, I know you don't like that. I know you don't like that. Let's go into the New Testament. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go look it up in the Word. Not that it's going to make too big of a difference to some of you, because you just say, I go to hell before I forgive. But somebody wants to be set free. Somebody wants to stop playing church and truly forgive. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Hallelujah. It said, in your anger, do not sin. See, he already lets us know. Anger can lead you into danger. So he's already warning us. In your anger, do not sin. He said, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Isn't that 24 hours? Either way you put it, any way you look at it, how long is that? 24 hours. And then he gives you a simple reason behind it. He said, do not give the devil a foothold. If you're carrying your anger any longer than that, you are giving the devil a foothold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another translation says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. See, if you don't let the sun go down on your wrath, you will not hold that anger but a few hours. When you hold on to unforgiveness, you open a door that gives license to Satan to put something on you. And Satan will walk through that door. Satan will take advantage of that situation. So hello, high blood pressure. Hello, heart attacks. Hello, cancer. Hello, depression. Hello, suicide. Hello, drunkenness. Hello, addictions. Welcome inside. That's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, welcome inside. Join me for my pity party. Join me for my graveyard death. You say, we all got to die anyway. Why not let hatred kill me then? Why not just let me go out like this here? Let me let this happen to me. And the same thing is going to pass on and on. But somebody tonight said, I'm not going any further with it. The family blood that runs in my veins has to bow down to the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on now. Hallelujah. Critical for your well-being is if your father can't forgive you, neither can he heal you. That's just the way he has designed the system to work. The Father of God wants to bless you, but you won't let him if you're harboring something against someone else. You're tying his hands. Put your child in the situation. Your child is drowning. Your child that you love so much is drowning. And you're right there. And all he has to do is reach up and grab your hand. And he has the ability to do it. But he keeps looking at you saying, no, I'm going to do it my way. No, I'm going to do it my way. So you see him start to take in too much water. And you see life starts to seep out of his body. But the child still has an opportunity to reach up to you. They still can do it. They have enough strength that they can do it. But they still say no. I don't want to do it your way. I'd rather die than to do it your way. I want to do it my way. It feels better if I do it my way. You don't know what I've been going through. You don't know who pushed me in this pool of water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to reach for help. I'm not going to let anyone help me. You're tying God's hands just the same. That's what your Father feels for you. Again, your Father wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. But you won't let him. You won't let him. Other people's prayers have got you past so many things in life. God has set you free from some things that is just impossible. It had to be God. He has repaid you over and over and over and over and over and over and over again for the things that was done to you. He said, I've already repaid you that. Satan's already had to give that back to you sevenfold. Already. But you won't receive it. You won't receive it. You receive the healing he gave you. You receive the sentence of not being life in prison for what you've done when you know that you really, that's what you deserved it. But because of something that was happening to you, he allowed the enemy to pay you back sevenfold, and you still are harboring anger for the things that was done to you. Hallelujah. You're tired of people saying, move on. You're tired of people saying, give me time to get over it. Do your 24 hours of anger and let's move forward. You have taken 24 years, and you're no farther now than you were when it first happened. You're tying God's hands. Holding something against another person can take you out of here long before you're ready to go. That is long before you're 70 years of age, which is the least amount of time a Christian should live. And when you do not forgive, you're inviting an attack of sickness, an attack of disease. You can pray all you want and confess all you want. But if you're harboring unforgiveness, it won't do you any good. It's like being on a treadmill, exerting a lot of effort, but going nowhere. That's exactly the way it can be with your faith. You can be saying all the right things, but you will go nowhere faith-wise. You're just like on a treadmill if you've got unforgiveness in your heart. In the meantime, sickness and disease can be gaining on you, taking that toll on your health. Keep in mind that to forgive doesn't mean to go back to the scene of the crime and let yourself be dumped on again. No, no. You'd be a fool to do that. It doesn't mean that you have to, okay, I'm just telling them, okay, it's okay to do me wrong. See, if a dog bites you once, it's the dog's fault. It's the dog's fault. But if the same dog bites you again, then it's your fault. So avoid the places where you've been bitten before. In other words, if at all possible, avoid getting back into that relationship that you know the person hurt you in. Steer clear of getting into, no, I'm not going to marry you. We couldn't make it when we was girlfriend and boyfriend. When we were dating, look what happened. No, I'm not going to marry you just to have a fancy wedding, just to have to be able to say, I am married. See, don't let them run over your life again. And just a family member. It takes time. You've got to start wanting to build and repair a relationship. Hallelujah. If they lied on you, you may not want to go and tell them your deepest, darkest secrets. Hallelujah. You'd be a fool to do that. Stay clear of telling them your deepest, darkest secrets. You know they can't hold water. But still, you need to be in their presence. Still, you need to make sure that you're finding out something else about them. You need to show up to functions. Still, you need to allow yourself to go past what has happened. Hallelujah. You can forgive them and love them. Truly forgive them and love them even from afar. You don't have to run to their house every day. You don't have to be in their presence every day. But make sure you have truly forgiven them, that you now can find love for them. Hallelujah. You don't have to let them get back in your face to do you wrong again. You can love them from afar. But don't have it to the point that when it's time for you, oh, I got to go to work today. I'm going to see that person. Let me go around the other way. No. Hallelujah. As children of God, we are commanded to operate in the fruit of the season. And the fruit of the season. Colossians 3:12-13 says this thus. Hallelujah. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender bearings with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Hallelujah. That's the word. That's God's word. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. You too must learn to forgive. That's the word. So if you've ever, how could you forgive an enemy? What sins are unforgivable? Let's just take a quick look here. First, it just goes beyond our human nature to forgive the unforgivable. Our flesh just doesn't want to go there. We hold grudges and we harbor them, resentment. You know, our flesh enjoys just battle. We battle, we bicker among ourselves. I know people like that. They just love it. They just seem to thrive upon it. Some of them, they get intoxicated, and then there they go. And over again, that's just the way they do. It's some people that has been married years and years, yell and bicker with each other every day. But it's God's nature, however, to forgive anything and everything. What sins are unforgivable? It is God's nature to forgive anything and everything. See, the worst crime ever committed, God can forgive that. Your worst mistakes and harshest moments, God can forgive those too. even when you feel that God would never accept you as you are, He invites you to come just as you are. Just as you are. And He forgives you completely. He said, I'm not going to forgive you just for some and not all of it. But He forgives you completely. Joseph's brothers did the unforgivable. They sold their little brother into slavery. You know the story. What an awful thing to do. You know, they did not deserve to be forgiven. As readers, we long for a moment of vengeance. When you read the story, when Joseph can get back at them for the years of pain, the years of rejection that they caused him, we're like, okay, Joseph, this is your time. But Joseph held off. He could have gloated, mocked, yelled, or punished. Instead, he spilled down his cheeks as he forgave them. As Jesus taught in Matthew 18:35, Joseph managed to forgive his brothers from his heart. The tears was not because, oh, I have to do this. It was because I love you so much. I can't believe I still have an opportunity to get to know you more now. We're going to be a family. We're going to gang back together. They sold him into slavery. Hallelujah. But Joseph still forgave his brothers from his heart. He opened up the whole palace to them. Woo! Compare yourself to Joseph. Perhaps you can empathize with Joseph's situation. Maybe you're face to face with someone who doesn't deserve to be forgiven. But through Jesus' grace, you can forgive. Only when you are bathed in God's forgiveness can you extend that same rich, ungrudging forgiveness to others. How could you forgive your enemies? By being bathed in God's forgiveness, then you'll be able to extend the same rich, ungrudging forgiveness to others. Hallelujah. Romans 5:8 said, but God shows his great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still, what? Sinners in our sin. He still died for us. He gave his life for us while we were still sinners. The ones that was down there mocking him, that was tying him and nailing him and piercing him, he gave his life for each and every one of them. Oh, hallelujah. Some personal applications for you to just take with you and remind and answer for yourself. Are you holding back from forgiving someone in your life? Are you holding back from forgiving someone in your life? It could be a drunk driver that ran into your loved one. It could be a doctor who you feel didn't do everything that they should have. Whatever it is, are you holding back from forgiving someone in your life? From whom do you need to ask forgiveness? From whom do you need to ask forgiveness? Who is it? If you need to ask someone for forgiveness, you need to go to that person and ask for forgiveness. You need to show some type of gratitude. You need to show some kind of empathy for what it is that you have done. And you need to start earning the trust back. Now, if they choose not to allow you to earn the trust or start to build a relationship with them, shake the dust from your feet. Now it's on them. For an in-depth study, we ask you to read Genesis 37, the whole book, 37 37 and also Genesis 42. Hallelujah. We're just going to look just at a couple more scriptures, one in Genesis and one in Matthew, a couple in Matthew. Hallelujah. Let's go first to Genesis. We're in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, the first book is Genesis, and then we're going to go to 45, and we'll do 4 through 15, okay? So Genesis, we can find that one. That's at the beginning here, right? And again, it's going to be 45 and then 4 through 15. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed. And do not be angry with yourselves for selling me, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." See, what are you holding up? Something that you've been through, hallelujah, God has used that. He said he would use those things and turn them around for the good. Hallelujah. He will use those things to bless you. So you're holding up your blessing by staying in your pity party, dwelling on what happened to you. And the enemy sees the future, and so that's why he decides, I'm going to push them so far that they're going to hide in a little cave. They're not going to want to be out amongst people. They're going to be depressed. They're going to get suicidal. I'm just going to keep them bogged up in their mind, and their life is going to be spent about all the things that keep happening to me. Woe is me. Over and over again, things keep happening to me. Joseph was sold. He was thrown in prison. He was lied on. He was accused of rape. He was forgotten. But then he tells his brothers what? He said, "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you, the one who did me wrong, to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Hallelujah. This is something. This should spark something in somebody right now. Hallelujah. Verse 8. "So then it was not you, who sent me, but God." So you say, okay, so the things that you've done to me may have been because it had been done to you. But God was using that situation to get me here to save many other people who may be going through the same thing, may have went through the same thing, or to prevent them from going through that. You're supposed to be saving lives from that situation you're going through. But you can think of no one but you. He says, "He made me father to Pharaoh, Lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." Oh, what could you not have right now? What could you not be doing right now? If you actually get on the forgiving wagon and get in God's will, you wouldn't have to blare your music and sing about it. You could live the life. Live the life. How would it feel to get up and not thinking about taking your life today? How would it feel to get up and not think about that situation that somebody's done to you over and over again? How would it feel to get up and feel brand new, to feel washed, to not feel dirty, to feel clean? Woo! How would it feel? How would it feel? You've been in that cave so long, you forgot what it feels. What it feels like to have the sun shining on your face. Verse 9 says, now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children, and your grandchildren, your flock and herds and all you have, I will provide for you there. Because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belongs to you will become destitute. Hallelujah. You know, the flesh says, yeah, I want them to become destitute. Look what you're giving up for their destitute. You know that? And because the days have forgave in their hearts, they're continuing to prosper. You're sitting back the only one not making it because you're watching them prosper. And the more they prosper, the more that you sit in a hole, the more that mud keeps covering and choking you out. So the enemy keeps making sure that they get more because that keeps you deeper and deeper and deeper. Because he knows that you are supposed to be the one that's leading the light. You are supposed to be the one that's telling them something that's going to make a difference in their life. But you can't speak because you won't even speak to the person. You can't get up and save the ones that you're supposed to be saving from going through what you've been through because you can't get yourself out of it. 10, 15, 25 years, 30, 35, 35 years. How long are you going to hold yourself down? How long are you going to stay choked out? You know, the mud can only go so far without just suffocating you, and you're out of here. You're graveyard dead. You're through. Your chances are over. Over what? Over what? It was nothing that happened to you that God didn't repay you for. So your father walked out of your life, said he didn't want to be no part of you, said some harsh things to you. God said, but I've always been your father. Many cases, he said, I replaced and gave you a stepfather. But you treated him so bad because it wasn't your father. But God said, I don't want that. I moved that one out of the way so I could give you the best. Hallelujah. Accept what I have given to you. Some people had no choice, but I made sure that you had the best. You're still sitting here griping because it's not like what everybody else had. That's not what everybody else do. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, you can see for yourself, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Then they threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And they kissed all his brothers. And Joseph kissed all his brothers. And Joseph kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not just saying that you forgive, but forgiving your brothers, your sisters, whoever it is that has did harm to you, truly forgiven, having a truly forgiving heart, in your heart, true forgiveness. Let's look at Matthew 18. It's a little lengthy, but let's go ahead and go through it. God says do it. Matthew 18, and we'll start at 21, first book of the New Testament. Matthew 18, and we're going to start at 21. All right. I'm here. I see. Are you here? Sure, of course you are. God bless. God bless. All right. Matthew 18 says, I tell you the truth. I'm sorry. Matthew 18, verse 21. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times, should I, Father? You know, and I believe he kind of said it was just like, you know, no way you want me to do it seven times. Up to seven times? Hallelujah. How many of you are saying that same thing? But then Jesus answered and said, I tell you, not seven times. And I can just see Peter saying, yeah, I didn't think you wanted me to believe, forgive seven times. But just when we think we got God figured out, don't you know that God says, I am who I am? Let me tell you what the real thing is. See the side of me that you haven't seen before. He said, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servant. See, as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. He says, now, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Okay, verse 26, the parable continues. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant masters took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. The parable continues, 29. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him. Now, the same servant who had just been forgiven, his debt had just been canceled. And now he and his flock, his children, his wife are all safe. That same servant went out. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. The same words that he had just said to the ones that he owed, right? Oh, my goodness. Verse 30 says, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. The same master that just had forgiven this man his debt. Then the master called the servant in, said, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Now, the ball is in your court. The ball is in your court. After hearing that, it is up to you. You know the truth. You are now being held accountable for the truth. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Unless you forgive from your heart, it's just like being thrown into a jail. I don't care how much you beg, how much you moan, you're tying God's hands. He can't heal your body. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. In closing, I leave with you. Forgiveness comes easier with a wide angle lens. You see, Joseph used this one to get the whole picture. He refuses to focus on the betrayal of his brothers without also seeing the loyalty of his God. It always helps to see the big picture. So a wide-angle lens, not just what happened to you, but how God has blessed you throughout your life. How did miraculous things has been coming over you in your life time and time again. To look at the whole picture, not just what happened to you, but what has that person done for to save and help others, to even help you? How have they tried to come back to you? Why are you still shutting the door in their face? Why are you still hiding in a cave? What are you doing to hurt someone else right now because you're so stuck on what happened to you? The life you live as a mother, now that same anger you're teaching to your kids. Your kids are now going and dealing with their things. They're dealing with their hurt in the same way. What if you make it in you to stay in your cave? But they decide that they just can't take it. They're going to take their life because of the same things that you've taught them. What have you taught them to do? To go against the word of God. I'm sorry, what was that? To go against the word of God. I don't care how many Bibles you get them, how many times you read it. If you're not going to live the life, you're going against the word of God. So again, I remind you, forgiveness comes easier with a wide-angle lens. Joseph uses one to get the whole picture. He refuses to focus on the betrayal of his brothers without also seeing the loyalty of God. It always helps to see the big picture. When you are closed-minded and unforgiving, have an unforgiving heart, you don't believe that God is able to be loyal to you. You don't believe that God is able to repay the person or the people who's done wrong to you. You don't believe that God can handle this. So you choose to stay with the Satan, the enemy, the darkness. God bless you, sisters and brothers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we come to you just thanking you for your powerful word. We thank you, Jesus, that your words may not fall on deaf ears, that someone is going to decide that right here, right now, that they're going to take up their sword, they're going to take up their cross, and they're going to follow you. They're going to deny the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a new beginning for somebody. This is a fresh start, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fresh start, for the new beginning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody now feels like, oh, my gosh, I'm here. Now what do I do? What are my next steps? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just start praising the Lord. Just start saying thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for the light, dear Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now teach me. Show me your way, dear Father. Show me in the direction for which you would have me be. Holy Spirit, wake up inside of me. Holy Spirit, come and dwell inside of me. Hallelujah. Be my intercessor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for healing the sin-sick soul. Now that they've unblocked themselves, dear Father, heal their body, dear Father, in whatever areas and all areas, and whatever it was that they had against that person or people, whatever it was, thank you, Jesus, for allowing them to forgive not only through their mouth but with a forgiving heart. Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus, removing the callous from around the heart. It's been a long time, Jesus. Oh, and I feel you just removing all that dead heart callous from their heart. Oh, just letting them remind them what it feels like to just breathe easily. Hallelujah. To have joy. To have understanding. To feel loved. To feel wanted. To hold their head up. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty word. What a mighty, mighty word. What a mighty word. Hallelujah. You need to get this CD. You need to download this. You need to get it on your MP3, on your iPod. You need to get this and pass it on to someone else when you're finished with it. God bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Tomorrow we will be on day 10. Day 10. We are going to be on confessions. A sheer win. Hallelujah. You've learned to forgive. Now you're going to confess. Have you ever wondered? Some say, well, I wasn't forgiven because I didn't think God could forgive me for what I have done. If you've ever wondered if God could ever forgive your sins, you know, if you heard today, then you know that the answer is yes. Because there's no way he would ask you to forgive others if he couldn't. He said that he cannot if you cannot. Have you ever wondered why you confess your sins? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So that is day 10. Tomorrow will be day 10. God is just moving and teaching. God is just moving and teaching. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. The 30-day new believer study. And remember, you don't have to be a new believer in Christ. You just got to want to have newness and believe that God is going to show you more direction, that he is lawyer. He's going to give you what you need, and he's going to teach it to you in his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we will see you on tomorrow. Before we leave, of course, we do not want to close without asking, do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then I would like to take this opportunity to introduce you to my great friend. Once you meet him as a friend, that's the only friend you'll ever have. That's the one you'll only need. He'll be the greatest one that you'll ever have. And as you say these words, if you believe them in your heart, you'll be born again. Believe them. It washes your slate clean. It gives you a fresh start. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says you will be born again. Here we go. Let's just repeat. Believe in your heart. Jesus, sweet Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior. I receive you as my Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. The mighty name of Jesus. In your name I pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. Congratulations. You're a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are brand new. Friend, you have a brand new life with Jesus to look forward to starting right now. Starting right now. Hallelujah. Your slate is clean before God. Your slate is clean before God. Man may try to remind you of where you've been, but remind him where you're going. You're going places with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would love to hear from you about your decision to walk with God. Hallelujah. If you need any materials, you need Bibles, whatever it is that you may need, whatever it is that you may need. Directions that for what to do now. Give me a call. I would love to play a part in your life. And you do the same once you've got your growth. Do the same. Look down and lift up somebody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the love of God come all over you today. Let God have his way in your life right now. Right now. Let him teach you. Let him show you how to forgive. And remember, what you've been through, God uses that. That weapon will not prosper. It can destroy you. Only you can do that. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Don't forget to rate the show. God bless you and we love you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Try Anointed Ministries. Evangelist Von Dumas signing off.
When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him, and he won't prosper, no, 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 no. It won't work. Say no weapon. If I could get somebody to stand with me tonight and declare that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. No weapon formed against your home. No weapon formed against your children. Say, it won't work. No.
Yeah.
tells you what your weapons are.
How many is it saying? How many weapons formed against you? Sister, how many of them gonna prosper? Say, how many of them gonna get you? Yeah. If you lose your job, say, and you don't know how you're gonna pay your bills, say, Lord, you never let me down before.
Never let me down.
I know it looks tight right now, but I trust you. Come on, you can say it.
You gotta believe it. You have to believe it.
It. Now praise the Lord like you're crazy.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, send the Lord, send the Lord, send the Lord, send the Lord.
And the devil is wreaking havoc in your home. That you can just confuse the enemy. That's because you're not praising him.
That's
what's going on. You're praising him because you know the outcome is you in. You in. Because you're a heavenly father. And you're going to let you up in this.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid, sisters and brothers. Go ahead and trust in him. No weapon. And God will always come through. The enemy will try to use even your loved ones as a weapon. Don't let it take you down. God will do just what he said he would do. Have a good night. Bye-bye.